Chapter 9, East of China, the Yamato Dynasty of Japan. India had many small kingdoms, but the Gupta Dynasty united them into one. China had two parts, but the Sui Dynasty united them into one. And exactly the same thing happened in the country of Japan. The dynasty that united Japan was called the Yamato Dynasty. It is the oldest dynasty in the world. The first Yamato Emperor ruled in Japan almost 2,000 years ago, and a Yamato Emperor is still on the Japanese throne today. The country of Japan is made up of four long, thin islands in the Pacific Ocean, just east of China. Japan isn't very wide, but it is so long that there are frozen plains of snow at the north end of the island, and coral reefs and warm, sunny beaches at the south end. The four big islands that make up Japan have almost 4,000 small islands all around them. At first, Japan was ruled by many different clans, or families. Each clan had its own territory and its own government. But one clan in the middle of Japan, the Yamato clan, grew stronger than all the rest. The Yamato leaders conquered all of the other clans one by one. It took over 200 years. But finally, the Yamato leaders could call themselves the emperors of Japan. The Yamato emperors told stories to prove that they deserved to rule over Japan. These stories announced that the Yamato emperors were living gods, descendants of Amaterasu, the sun goddess. Here is one of these legends. In the beginning, the world was full of sky spirits who created the islands of Japan. These spirits had children of their own. The strongest and most beautiful of the daughters was Amaterasu. Amaterasu was given the entire sky to rule over, but her brother Susano, who had been given the sea, was jealous. "The sky is larger than the sea," he complained. So he mounted a war against Amaterasu to throw her out of the sky. But he lost the fight and had to flee from the sky down to the earth. He ran until he was weary and had to rest by a stream. As he rested, he saw a pair of chopsticks drifting by him on the current. "There must be people around here," he exclaimed, and he set off upstream to find them. Soon he heard weeping and wailing. Just around a bend in the stream, he saw an old woman, an old man, and a beautiful young girl on the shore. All three were mourning. "What's the matter?" Susanoo asked. "An evil serpent with eight heads has come to our land," the old man wept. "Every year for the past 7 years he has eaten one of our daughters. We had eight daughters, but all have been eaten except for our youngest. And today the serpent will come and eat her as well." Susano looked at the beautiful girl and fell in love with her at once. "I will save her," he said, "if you will give her to me in marriage." "Anything," the old man cried. So Susano turned the lovely girl into a comb and hid her in his hair. Then he laid out eight bowls of rice wine for the serpent and hid in the bushes. Soon he heard the serpent approaching. It roared and thrashed its eight heads around, looking for its prey. But then it saw the wine. The eight heads dipped down and drank the eight bowls of rice wine. And then the serpent, full of wine, rolled over and went sound asleep. Susano came out of the bushes, drew his sword, and chopped the serpent into 80 pieces. Inside the serpent, he found a great magical sword. He sent this sword to his sister, Amaterasu, for a peace gift. Then he took the comb from his hair and turned it back into the beautiful girl. He built a palace with eight walls and lived there with his lovely wife. Together, they had 80 fine sons. Their youngest son was named Okuninushi. He settled down in the center of Japan and ruled over a plain covered with reeds. But his kingdom was an unhappy one. All over it, men fought with each other, and Okuninushi's 79 brothers were constantly trying to overthrow his rule. The reed plain became so noisy and full of battle that the plants, rocks, and trees started sending up complaints to the heavens. Up in the sky, Amaterasu heard the complaints. She decided to send her favorite grandson, Honinji, to bring peace to the reed plain. So she called him before her throne and gave him three sacred objects: the string of beads she wore in her hair, the mirror in which she had first seen her own reflection, and the great sword that Susanoo had found inside the eight-headed serpent. "Honinji," she said, "I want you to go down to the islands below and rule there. Establish peace and order instead of chaos. Your descendants will reign as long as heaven and earth endure." So Honinji went down to the reed plain in the center of Japan and began his reign. In time, he had children and grandchildren of his own. His descendants were the Yamatos, and the blood of the goddess Amaterasu runs in their veins. And when each Yamato emperor comes to the throne, he is given copies of the three sacred objects of Honinji: the magic sword, the string of beads, and the mirror of Amaterasu. Susanoo retreated into the darkness and chose it as his kingdom. From then on, Susanoo was the moon god who ruled the dark, and Amaterasu was the sun goddess who ruled the day. Because of their old quarrel, the two never met again, just as the sun and the moon never meet in the sky. A Tale of Three Countries, Korea, China, and Japan. The Yamato emperors of Japan had a big job. They had to rule over many different clans who were used to having their own way. Claiming that they were descended from the goddess Amaterasu gave the emperors some power. But they knew that they also had to be good rulers if they wanted to keep control of Japan. So the Yamato emperors borrowed ideas about how to run their country from two other countries, China and Korea. Korea is a peninsula, a piece of land surrounded by water on three sides that juts out into the Pacific Ocean from the eastern side of China. The Korean people have lived on this peninsula for thousands of years. But back in the days when the Roman Empire was still powerful, Chinese war leaders invaded Korea and ruled over part of it. The Korean people didn't want to be ruled by China, so they fought back. Eventually, the Chinese had to retreat until they only ruled the very northern part of the peninsula. The rest of Korea was divided into three parts called the Three Kingdoms. These three Korean kingdoms ruled themselves. Now the Korean people no longer had to obey the Chinese, but the Koreans had learned Chinese writing and Chinese customs from the invaders. They had learned about Buddha, and many Koreans had become followers of Buddhist ways. So even though they weren't ruled by China, the people of Korea had become like the Chinese in many ways. The kingdom on the western side of Korea was called Paekse. The king of Paekse hoped that he could conquer the other two kingdoms and add their land to his own. So he decided to make friends with Japan. After all, Japan was right across the water, and the armies of Japan could help the kingdom of Paekse become stronger than the other kingdoms of Korea. So the king of Paekse sent members of his court across to the island of Japan. "We'd like to be friends," he said, "and if we decide to fight with our neighbors, we'd like you to come and fight on our side." To convince the emperor of Japan to be his friend, he sent presents too: silks, tea, jewels, and a book with Chinese letters in it. The Japanese court liked the silks, tea, and jewels, but they had never before seen a book with Chinese letters in it. They were fascinated by these letters. The emperor sent a message back across the water to Korea. "I want my son, the prince, to learn how to read and write these letters," he said. "Can you send someone to teach him?" The king of Paekse agreed. According to ancient stories, he sent the prince a tutor named Wani. Wani taught the prince how to read and write Chinese letters. Soon the whole court learned how to read and write in Chinese. The Koreans also taught the Japanese about the Buddha. Soon many people in Japan became Buddhists as well. Japanese emperors gave their noblemen titles that were like Korean titles. They kept their chronicles and their court records in Chinese characters, just like the Korean court did. Soon, all of the important people in the Japanese court spoke Chinese. Only the common people used Japanese. Japanese noblemen sent their sons to study in China. these young men came back to Japan with Chinese ideas, Chinese games, and even Chinese hairdos. New cities in Japan were laid out just like Chinese cities. Korea and Japan copied many things from the Chinese. But that didn't keep China from wanting to rule over Korean and Japanese land. And although it was difficult for the Chinese army to march into Japan because of the water that lay between China and the Japanese coast, it was much easier for China to invade Korea. During the Tang Dynasty, the Chinese marched back into Korea again. They wiped out the Paekse Kingdom. And although the people of the other kingdoms eventually drove the Chinese soldiers back out of their country, it took them 6 long years of difficult fighting. Japan saw what had happened to Korea and didn't want to be next. The Japanese enjoyed many of the Chinese customs, but they didn't want to become Chinese. They only wanted to be equals. The Japanese called themselves the Land of the Rising Sun and China the Land of the Setting Sun. This was their way of saying that Japan was just as important as China. But it was very difficult to be equal with a country as large as China. China was like a big old beech tree with beautiful leaves and long shady limbs. A huge beech tree casts so much shade that other plants can't grow beneath it. The tree chokes out all smaller trees. The Japanese felt a little bit like a small pine trying to grow underneath a huge, sprawling beech. So, 400 years after the Yamato prince learned how to write in Chinese, the Yamato emperor broke off all ties with China. Japan would no longer send its young men to China. Instead, the Japanese began to write, to paint, to dress, and to think in their own unique Japanese way.